When it comes to climate change, 2 degrees no longer separates the G8 nations. In years past, the U.S. balked at setting a ceiling on how high global temperatures could go. But Deputy National Security Advisor Mike Froman says the U.S. now agrees with the European Union that the limit should be 2 degrees Celsius, or 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. The other G8 members have also signed on: Russia, Canada, and Japan.
There is a broad scientific view that that's a benchmark that we should try to stay below, and there are increasingly serious projected impacts, droughts and storms and sea level and all of the whole panoply of disasters and less than that, that flow from climate change.
The major industrial countries agreed yesterday to try to cut their own greenhouse gas emissions by 80% over the next 4 decades, while cutting worldwide emissions in half. Big developing countries like China and India have not agreed to similar targets, but Froman argues that's not a problem.
I think by the time these meetings are over, you'll see that there's been a significant step forward in dealing with the climate change issues and in support of the UN negotiations towards Copenhagen.
Copenhagen will host the next big round of international climate talks in December, and it's become something of a rallying cry for environmentalists who want to see more progress before then. Watching from the sidelines of the G8 summit, Antonio Hill of Oxfam was puzzled that the big industrial countries would approve the 2-degree ceiling but not set out firm guidelines for cutting greenhouse gases in the next decade.
They agree that we need to stop cooking the planet, but they haven't actually taken the steps to avoid that catastrophe.
Alden Meyer of the Union of Concerned Scientists is also worried that wealthy nations aren't doing more to help poor countries cut their production of greenhouse gases. Meyer believes that's why developing countries have been reluctant to set limits of their own.
Overall, this was a tremendous missed opportunity by the G8 to start to build trust and momentum, but we're calling on the leaders to keep working on this. They still have time to pick up the ball and move it forward, but time is running out.
On his way to the G8 summit aboard Air Force One yesterday, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs suggested the U.S. is already setting a good example for the rest of the world with the Energy and Climate Bill that passed the U.S. House last week.
The biggest thing that surrounds all of this as it relates to global warming and climate change are the big steps that the House took only a week or so ago, taking bold action against forces that are changing the temperature and the environment of our planet.
But over the next decade or so, the House bill would cut greenhouse gases in the U.S. by a relatively modest 4% compared to 1990 levels. And with Republicans and some Democrats warning of its economic price tag, the measure passed by only a very narrow margin. The Union of Concerned Scientists Meyer suspects the pitched battle over the climate bill has forced Mr. Obama to lower his sights when negotiating with other G8 leaders.
That's clearly having an impact on what the Obama administration feels they can put forward in these discussions. They feel somewhat constrained by the political situation in Congress.
Meyer wants Mr. Obama to take a harder line against global warming. But he concedes that even as he's negotiating here in Italy, the president cannot ignore the political challenges back home.
No one wants to repeat the experience of Kyoto, where the U.S. administration negotiated a treaty with no congressional backing and then walked away from the table. No one wants that. I think there's more the administration can do to mobilize public support and pressure on the Congress to be more ambitious.
Mr. Obama will act as chairman today when China, India, and other fast-growing countries join the G8 for an expanded round of climate talks. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Rome.